It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh on three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, and that's some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having an outstanding Monday and had an even better weekend. The NFL delivered again. Divisional round was fire, as the kids would say, as was the championship round. 2 3-point games to take in yesterday. And you heard them both right here on The Fan, your home for the NFL in the Cedar Valley and across eastern Iowa. I'm your host, Colbert, inside the Shirley Street studio. It is January 31st of 2022, and like usual, we got a locked, loaded, full program today. So however you are tuned in, thank you so much, whether that's on 1650 AM or 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. The all-new 1650thefan.com, which is where you can find the podcast of this show. A lot of other great information, including, new today at the website, our broadcast information for Super Bowl 56 LVI in Roman numerals. An outstanding broadcast team put together by our friends and partners at Westwood One Sports, one that does include Kurt Warner, the native son of the university just down the road, the Northern Iowa Panthers, and the one and the only Kevin Harlan doing the play-by-play, among many other greats that will contribute. And I can tell you that next Sunday we will go on the air with the Super Bowl at 1 o'clock, and then the game coverage, or the game itself, I should say, kicks off at 5:35. So, obviously, most of you want to watch the game on television, but that's not possible for everybody. We know that some people are going to be working, other people are going to be tight. You know, maybe you're having a Super Bowl party, and you know that you're not going to be able to be in front of the television the whole time as you make preparations for your guests. That's why you just tell your smart speaker to play The Fan, knowing you're not going to be in front of the TV, and then you get the outstanding pregame coverage from Westwood One. And so just keep that in mind. Just keep that in mind, because you're probably thinking, Cole, man, you are being a company man to a fault right here. Everybody wants to watch the Super Bowl on television. Yeah, I know. So do I. Now, I'll go full sin nerd like I usually do and have it on the television and then have the radio going, but that's me. I get that. But I'm telling you, if you're ever away from the television, which, you know, only the lucky ones get that, what, 8-hour block unencumbered where they can sit on the couch and or sit in the recliner and watch the entire production from wire to wire. So just keep that in mind. And like I mentioned, you can go to 1650thefan.com, the all-new website, and check that out along with a whole lot of other great content. So bookmark it, make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. You can follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert. Check out the Facebook page. Type in 1650102.3 The Fan and hammer that like button. Your Facebook experience will improve, I guarantee it. Check out the number to dial if you want to join in today with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918. 319-277-1918 or 800-913-9479. You could also email the show. Perhaps you'd rather do that than call. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. All right, yeah, so that doubleheader yesterday, 27-24, the Bengals rally from 18 points down in the first half to stun the Chiefs in overtime, and then the late game, the Rams come back from a 10-point deficit at 17-7, really just put together an outstanding fourth quarter, and they get the best of the 49ers with the field goal 20-17. So just like we all predicted, the Rams and Bengals in Super Bowl 56. Now the Rams, that is a that was a popular pick before the season. So I could see plenty of people that hit some futures bets on the Rams getting to the big game here, but I mean, only people that live in Cincinnati or displaced Bengals fans and the ones that are the largest Kool-Aid drinkers and like throwing money away on homer bets made a futures bet on the Bengals to get into the Super Bowl. So I think this is going to be a lot of fun to see a team like the Bengals, a team that in my lifetime, because wasn't the last Bengals Super Bowl in 1989? Wasn't that it? I think so. I think I heard that earlier today and yesterday for that matter too. I was born in 1989 in August. So, my first ever opportunity to watch the Bengals and Joe Burrow, the former LSU national title winning quarterback, that guy himself is worth the price of admission. And there's a lot of debate. We've heard it on the Dan Patrick Show, on Maggie and Perloff. What should the nickname be? And I think it should, I know it's been used other times before, but it's got to be Joe Cool. This guy's got swag. And it's that perfect amount of swag, too, where it's confidence, not cockiness. And even if it is cockiness, he's earned it. He's earned the right, correct? So, Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals taking on Matt Stafford and the Detroit Lions. How crazy is that? The Rams, they fork over all those draft picks to the Lions and for a really a mutual divorce between Stafford and the Lions before this season began in the offseason. And it pays off. It pays off for the I think it pays off, right? You got to the big game. Like, what more can you really ask for that you make the trade for Matt Stafford? I suppose in their mind, they're thinking that they would win the Super Bowl, but I feel like it's still a good trade if you made it to the Super Bowl. It's an even better one if you win it, obviously. But a great matchup. And I tell you what, I picked the Chiefs because I thought that Cincy offensive line was gonna catch up to the Bengals, and they're able to do just enough to make that thing work, and Joe Burrow does a good enough job protecting himself, and he's athletic too. Ran for some really important first downs in that comeback win over the Chiefs. So if you can't tell already, I'm pumped up about the Super Bowl. I was feeling very, very down as the NFL regular season wound down because my Bears are just miserable. And I've seen a few clips. Speaking of the Bears, they introduced their had press conferences today for their new GM Ryan Poles and head coach Matt Eberflus. I've heard some of the audio, seen some of the stuff on social media. It sure looks like they both won the press conference. I will admit I like some of what I've heard, but you just got to go do it. They just got to prove it, and until then, who the hell knows? But in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy the Super Bowl, and I will do so by listening right here on The Fan. So, coming up today on the show, area sports news and scores here in just a moment. Plenty to get to. After we do that, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast for the rest of this Monday, looking into tomorrow and Wednesday from Megan Mulford. We'll come back from that break, and John Walters will join us, our Monday tradition. John Walters, the play-by-play voice of Iowa State men's basketball. You follow him on Twitter at JW Cyclones TV. He'll join us to recap a 2-0 week for the Cyclones. Big, big week. Clones needed that. Talked about that last week, about how important this past week would be. And TJ Altzelberger and the Clones delivered, took care of business. Talk about that. And then a huge game tomorrow night at Hilton Coliseum, folks. No show tomorrow night because Iowa State hosting Kansas. That's a top 20 battle. Pregame coverage with the Cyclone Radio Network will go on the air tomorrow at 5. Tip off of that game just after 6 o'clock, so make a note of that. We'll definitely talk about that matchup with John in the next segment, so look forward to that. After we're done talking with John, we'll take the time out near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports, come back from that break, and we'll get you some audio from UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson. Panthers, they also had a 2-0 week. They're 11-9 overall, 7-3 in the Missouri Valley Conference, right there in the thick of that race. Loyola lost yesterday to Drake, so some parity happening at the top of the conference. Panthers are in the thick of it, but they've got to get better defensively. Talked about that quite a bit with Coach Jake today at his press conference, so stick around for that audio. After we're done there, we take the final timeout, get you the NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, come back and wrap up the show. All right, let's dive right in here. Three Metro teams were involved in the Mississippi Valley Conference Super Meet, Wrestling Super Meet Saturday in Cedar Rapids. Linmar got the dub. Cedar Falls, 7th. Waterloo East, 12th. West, 13th. Columbus competed in the NICL Wrestling Meet on Saturday and finished 8th. Union LaPorte City won the meet with 191.5 points. The Sailors, they crowned two champs, Max Magana at 160 pounds, and Mason Knipp at 195. District and sub-state assignments for all classes are now available for the boys' high school basketball postseason. The Iowa High School Athletic Association released the Class 3A and 4A sub-state assignments on Friday. 1A and 2A assignments were released the prior week. In 4A, Cedar Falls, West, East will be in sub-state 3, along with West Des Moines Valley, Cedar Rapids, Jefferson, and Marshalltown. In 3A, Waverly-Shellrock will be in Substate 2 with Charles City, Clear Lake, Crestwood, Decorah, Hampton, Dumont, Cal, Iowa Falls, Alden, and Webster City. The pairings for all classes will be available following coaches' seating meetings. The UNI wrestling team closed out an impressive road swing yesterday with its second win over a ranked team this season and in the weekend, beating number 21 Oklahoma 17-15. The Panthers and Sooners split the number of matches won, but bonus points from UNI's Cale Happel at 141 and Derek Holschlag at 157 were enough to give UNI the edge. And then the night prior on Saturday night, UNI upset third-ranked Oklahoma State 19-15. The seventh-ranked Iowa State wrestling team also did damage in Oklahoma this weekend, won six matches, defeating number 3 Oklahoma State 20-12 yesterday. Tough weekend for the Cowboys. It snapped a 14-match skid against Okie State, and with UNI's win over the Cowboys on Saturday night, the Cyclones handed them their first set of back-to-back losses since December of 2013 and their first back-to-back home losses since February of 2009. The Cyclones extended their winning streak to 9 matches with the win. It's the second longest in the country now. Iowa State is 11-1 and 4-0 in the Big 12. They come to McLeod Center next Friday night at 7 o'clock. That's a hot ticket, folks. You might want to make a call about that or check out a website. Iowa State men's basketball has moved up in this week's AP Top 25 rankings, up 3 spots to number 20. Auburn remains number 1 for the second week in a row, followed by Gonzaga 2nd and UCLA 3rd. And the Cyclones, as I mentioned, they're preparing for number 10 Kansas tomorrow night. 5 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock tip here on The Fan. Sticking with those Clones, guard Isaiah Brockington has been named Big 12 Men's Basketball Player of the Week. He averaged 20.5 points, and he shot 50% from the field, 80% from three, and 90% from the free throw line in the two wins last week. What was the early game when I'm blanking on that? Oklahoma State. It's because I was saying that too much with wrestling. Oklahoma State and Mizzou, the two wins where Isaiah Brockington absolutely balled out. Both Iowa State and Iowa climbed up 2 spots in this week's AP Top 25 women's basketball poll. Cyclones go from 13th to 11th. Hawkeyes go from 23rd to 21st. And that Iowa women's basketball team is hosting Ohio State tonight. Hawkeyes are riding a 7-game winning streak and are 8-1 in the Big Ten. Ohio State 7-3 in conference play. Game time tonight is at 8. The Iowa men's basketball team also on the road tonight to take on Penn State. Tip-off is at 6. And this is the second meeting between the two teams. Iowa beat the Nittany Lions 68-51 on January 22nd. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast coming up. On the other side, we're talking Cyclones. Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice John Walters joins us next. You're listening to a Monday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, the hype can begin for Super Bowl 56. The Rams looking to go all the way under Sean McVay, while the Cincinnati kid Joe Burrow trying to lead the Bengals their first ever title. Cincinnati will be the home team, even though the Rams are playing on their home field. The Bears welcome their new regime, GM Ryan Poles, and head coach Matt Eberflus today, while the Giants, with a long road to get back to the Super Bowl, introduced new head coach Brian Daboll. There are still some coaching vacancies to be filled. The Jaguars had the first and have still yet to find a new head man. They'll interview former Raiders interim Rich Bisaccia. The Saints, the most recent team to have an opening, and will be busy interviewing coaches this week. They'll speak with former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores tomorrow, Lions defensive coordinator and former staff member Aaron Glenn on Wednesday, and current defensive coordinator Dennis Allen will also interview with the team this week. The Jazz, Joe Ingles, reportedly suffered a torn ACL and is done for the season. The Warriors looking up at the Suns in the West, who are riding a 10-game winning streak and are idle, while the Warriors go for their sixth in a row tonight in Houston. Auburn remains the #1 team in the nation this week. I'm Rich Ackerman.
Jim Rome here. Coming up Tuesday on The Jungle, a conversation with Marquette head basketball coach Shaka Smart. See you Tuesday, 12 noon Eastern and 9 Pacific.
For matchups, scores, podcasts, and more, visit 1650thefan.com.
My name is Anna. I live in Cedar Falls.
I was in a severe car accident. The driver did not have car insurance. I was actually severely injured. I had a lot of hospital bills that needed to be paid. I was a single mom. I called Balkirken Home. Eshan came and saw me while I was actually in the hospital. He explained everything thoroughly and how we were gonna get compensated. Eshan really seemed like he genuinely cared about me and not just getting compensation for himself.
When a car or motorcycle accident injures you or your loved ones, you need a strong team of attorneys to protect your rights. Balkirken Home has been in the Cedar Valley since 1958. Balkirken Home are your local injury attorneys providing personalized representation at the highest level. For a free consultation, visit balkirkhome.com.
I would highly recommend Balkirken Home.
Balkirken Home, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
I am very, very grateful.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
It'll be the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams in Super Bowl 56 in 13 days. The Rams beat the 49ers in the NFC title game, and the Bengals upset the Chiefs for the AFC title. It's Cincinnati's first trip back to the Super Bowl since 1988. LA back in the Super Bowl for the second time in 4 years. The Rams on their home field open as a 4.5-point favorite. The total set at 49.5. College basketball, Iowa at Penn State tonight. The Hawkeyes coming off an 83-73 loss to Purdue on Thursday. The Nittany Lions have lost three straight. Iowa, a 4-point favorite on the road. The over-under set at 140.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Mainly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 28. South winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 32. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Overcast tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 5 above. Cloudy Wednesday, decreasing clouds by Thursday. Low teens Wednesday, single digits above zero by Thursday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 33.
You're listening to Cole & Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues, and what an outstanding week it was last week for the Iowa State men's basketball team. They needed a couple Big 12 conference wins, at least one in what looked like, as it has been all conference season, just two more really difficult games. Actually stepped out of conference play to play the Missouri Tigers on Saturday in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. So to break it all down and look back over a successful week and also look ahead to a huge game tomorrow night at Hilton Coliseum against 10th-ranked Kansas, we bring in the play-by-play voice of Iowa State men's basketball, John Walters. John, I'd ask how you're doing, but I have to imagine that you and everybody else in Cyclone Nation's feeling really good on this Monday.
Yeah, I think so. It was a really successful weekend for the entire athletics department. Wrestling, winning twice at Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. You know, the number three team in the country in Oklahoma State. Women's basketball with another nice road win. They've won four road games now in the Big 12. Men's basketball with a great win. Gymnastics had a win. Track did well. So it was just a great weekend in general. But yes, you know, specifically talking about men's basketball, just a really important week for Iowa State. Coming off, you know, the disappointment of getting beat double digits down at Texas Tech and then coming back and losing at home to TCU. You know, it's kind of that crossroads where you look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, you know, here we are. How are we going to respond to this adversity? And I think the guys couldn't have responded any better to go into Stillwater and kind of slug one out with Oklahoma State. I mean, that game was one of the crazy games I can ever remember. 28 lead changes, no team leading by more than 4 points in a double in an overtime game. So 45 minutes of basketball, nobody had more than a 4-point lead. And even those 4-point leads were short-lived. I mean, it was like four, and then it was right back to one. Somebody would hit a three. So it just felt like every possession was magnified in that game, and it was edge-of-your-seat stuff from start to finish. And then, you know, to find a way to win that game in the end, have to make a bunch of plays to pull it off on the road was huge. And then to come back and take care of business against Missouri and do it with a nice 15-0 run in the second half, beat them by 17. Just a really, really good week for Iowa State men's basketball, one that I think can really propel them forward the rest of the season.
Yeah, I would agree completely. And looking into that win over Oklahoma State, 84-81 in overtime a little bit, John, it was the start of what became a Big 12 Player of the Week type performance for Isaiah Brockington. I mean, we're running out of things to say when it comes to complimenting Isaiah. He was outstanding in both games. He shot 50% from the floor this past week, 80% from three, and 90% from the free throw line. It just continues to be pretty outrageous how good he's been the entire season.
He really has, and it's been start to finish. And, you know, he's one of a very short list of people in the discussion for Big 12 Player of the Year. Even Fran Fraschilla tweeted it out today that he thinks Ochai Agbaji and Isaiah Brockington are probably the top two candidates for League Player of the Year. And so, you know, to come that far from what anybody expected of Isaiah coming into the season is really remarkable. And, you know, he's just been such a positive influence on the entire program because he came in with a great attitude. He's completely unselfish. And yet he has the gumption to rise up and take big shots in big moments, and he's done it time after time after time. And his teammates want him taking those shots because they've seen the success. And so it's just been awesome to see. And, man, I tell you, every shot he hit felt big in that Oklahoma State game, and a lot of them were closely guarded, shot clock winding down. And he's just got so much confidence right now in that mid-range jumper and in, you know, he's shooting a three at over 40%. He doesn't take a lot of threes, but he's particular with when he takes them. And I'd say that's the thing with Isaiah. His shot selection is excellent. And really, a lot of guys on this team, Jazz Coons, takes good shots. Iowa State has nine guys that play, for the most part. I mean, they play nine guys in nine-man rotation. Eight of them are shooting the ball better from the floor this year than they did last year, whether that was at Iowa State or wherever they came from. And so it just shows you these guys are sharing the basketball. They are second in the Big 12 in percentage of their baskets that are assisted on. It's about 58% of their baskets come via the assist. So they share the basketball well. They take good shots. They take shots within the offense. And Isaiah Brockington's the golden example of that. And, yeah, he's just having a fabulous year and definitely deserves to be in the conversation for Player of the Year in the Big 12. He's third in the league right now in scoring and second in rebounding. And so he certainly has to be in the discussion.
John Walters, Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. And, John, it was a great week for all the clones, but Tyrese Hunter stuck out to me. I thought he had an outstanding week, maybe his best week of Big 12 conference play in his career, obviously as a freshman. And then George Condit. I think we got to mention George. He was great against Oklahoma State. And, you know, he bounced back. I think he would probably wear it like anybody else in that two-loss week 2 weeks ago, that he had to be better. He was better. And Tyrese just seems like his arrow is really pointing up right now.
No, I completely agree with your assessment of those two guys. George Condit, they asked him to come off the bench against Oklahoma State. A lot of guys would take that as a demotion. They started Robert Jones. They wanted that instant energy from Robert right from the opening tip. Robert brought that. Robert played one of his best games as a Cyclone at Oklahoma State. But George played probably his best game as a Cyclone at Oklahoma State. He came off the bench. Double-digit score, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, couple blocks, couple steals. Just did everything to help that team win that night. And then came back with a strong outing against Missouri. So really happy for him. You know, he played more minutes than Robert in both those games. It really doesn't matter which guy's starting. Mm-hmm. They're both going to play a lot. They both have to be a good combination to play well together, because if they do, it really helps Iowa State win games. And then Tyrese Hunter, his development just continues to escalate. You know, I mean, to play a terrific floor game against Missouri, I thought 2 days ago, had no turnovers, the first game of the season where he's had no turnovers, and, you know, just in control of that game. And I thought he was at Oklahoma State as well. He had 18 points in that one. Really early in the overtime, those first couple buckets came from Gid Kelcher hit a little runner, and then Tyrese had back-to-back big-time buckets, a putback that he got fouled on, three-point play, and then a huge dunk to really get Iowa State going in the overtime. And he's just playing with so much confidence right now. You can just see it rising with every game that he plays, and he's figured out how tough it's going to be in the Big 12 Conference night in and night out. He gets that. He's going against incredibly athletic, good defenders, but he's kind of, like he does everything else, figuring that out without showing a lot of change in expression and doing his thing and really playing some high-level basketball. And I think has to be the front runner for Big 12 Freshman of the Year. He's just having a fabulous season.
John, this game tomorrow night, I mean, gosh, we could say this every time a Big 12 opponent comes up because the league is just so incredibly good. But it's another shot at the Kansas Jayhawks, which – Cyclone fans always love that, and particularly coming off a 62-61 loss at Allen Fieldhouse back on January 11th. The fans, much less the players, I have to imagine these guys of TJ Otzelberger's are really wanting another crack at 10th-ranked Kansas tomorrow night. Gotta like their chances going into this one with the home court advantage.
Well, they're going to have to play well. And I think they understand that. They're going to have to play really well to beat them. I think they did play really well in that game in Lawrence. Didn't quite get over the hump. One more play. You know, if Gabe Kelcher's final shot goes in, it's a completely different script. But they played very, very well to be in that game in Allen Fieldhouse and got back to their defensive intensity and identity. And they're going to have to do that again tomorrow. Their defense is going to have to be really good. You know, Kansas is going to come in licking its wounds. They just lost at home to Kentucky in convincing fashion in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. That doesn't happen to Kansas very often. And so they're going to come in here. Bill Self almost never loses back-to-back games. And so they're going to come in here with a spirit and a purpose about them that Iowa State's going to have to be ready for, and it's going to have to match. But it'll be a great battle. It'll be an intense battle, and I expect to go right down to the wire just like the game in Lawrence did. Really, most of the games between these two schools in recent years have, even last year, they tended to be pretty close. So, you know, looking forward to it. It's always fun to play Kansas, especially in Hilton, and I think the environment will be lights out, and we'll see if Iowa State can find a way to pull out another big win, get their third straight victory, and then, you know, head into two tough games on the road with a lot of momentum.
John, let's wrap it up here. The itinerary for tonight's Cyclones Coach's Corner, which folks tuning in right now can hear from 6:30 to 8 later on tonight right here on The Fan.
Yes, Eric Heft is going to join me as guest co-host tonight, and we will have T.J. Otzelberger at 6:30 and Bill Fenley at 7:15. So, you know, both teams playing great right now, and the Cyclone women 18-3, first place in the Big 12 Conference. So, and they're ranked 11th in the nation. The men are ranked 20th, and it's been a special winter in Hilton Coliseum, and I hope that people will be able to tune in tonight and be a part of it.
Great stuff as always, John. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week.
Yep, you too. Thanks, Cole.
John Walters, Cyclone Radio Network, kind enough to join us on this Monday edition of Cole & Company. And it just cannot be said enough how important two wins for the Cyclones were this week. And with that win over Mizzou, 67-50 on Saturday, that completes a perfect non-conference record for the Cyclones. I think 13-0. I think I've got that right. 13-0 completes that. And then also, too, I saw this stat on the Twitter machine today that one-third of the turnovers that Iowa State forced against Mizzou, three were shot clock violations, two were 10-second backcourt violations, and one was a 5-second violation. Just incredible stuff from Coach Otzelberger's team that has played some of the absolute best defense anywhere in the country this season. So Iowa State takes on number 10 Kansas. Cyclones up to number 20 in this week's AP Top 25. Pregame coverage tomorrow night right here on The Fan at 5. So no show for me tomorrow night. I'll gladly step out of the way for this humdinger we're going to have here on The Fan. And then, of course, tip-off just after 6 o'clock. So tune in for that. And then Cyclones Coach's Corner tonight will get you all fired up and ready for that big one tomorrow night. Cyclones Coach's Corner, 6:30 to 8. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports in this break. On the other side, we go from talking Cyclones hoops to Panthers hoops. Spoke with UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson earlier today. Plenty to talk about with his Panthers after a couple wins last week. We'll hear from Coach Jake next on this Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is presented by the Iowa Department of Public Safety Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau. Impaired driving takes a life every hour in the U.S. Don't drive impaired.
Radio Iowa Sports, good afternoon. I'm Tim Fisher. Men's college basketball tonight. The Iowa Hawkeyes on the road to take on Penn State. The Hawkeyes coming in off a 10-point loss to Purdue on Friday night, but there are things this team can build on, head coach Fran McCaffrey.
Not everything in the game was horrible. And I think if you focus on that, you know, the negativity, I think will just drain your program. So I think you have to be honest with your assessment. Okay, we had a bad first half, but a good second half. Okay, why? What was good about the second half and what was bad about the first half? And, you know, how far were we from being better?
Tip off tonight's set for 6 o'clock. Women's college basketball tonight, Iowa plays host to Ohio State. I'm Tim Fisher, Radio Iowa Sports.
Now, you don't get to play as much as the offense and defense, but it must be cool to be called special teams. It just sounds good. What team are you on? The special team. That's tight, right? Oh, if you're a fan of special teams, you can just bet on those. My sportsbook app has prop bets, so have at it, people. It's a special app, people!
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
The third largest indoor ag show in the U.S., the Iowa Ag Expo features more than 670 companies spread over 7.7 acres, bringing all the latest ag innovations and greatest ag technologies that you need to increase profits, lower costs, and improve the way you farm and ranch. Check it out February 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Iowa Events Center in Des Moines. Register online at iowaagexpo.com to save $5 on admission. Sponsored in part by Farm Credit Services America and Ag Direct.
Cedar Falls Schools reminds you that registration for the 2022-23 preschool program is now open. Simply go to cfschools.org, click on the Parents tab, and select preschool. The Cedar Falls Schools preschool program runs from 8:45 a.m. to 1:50 p.m. every school day and is funded by the statewide voluntary preschool grant and Head Start. Children who will be age 4 by September 15th and live within the district boundaries are eligible to participate in the program. Tuition is free, space is limited, and the district follows a first-come, first-served policy. Contact the administration office with questions at 553-2422.
At Cedar Falls Schools, we strive to provide our students with the highest quality education. We embrace change as it represents the world our students enter as they continue along life's journey. We should all be incredibly proud of our students and staff. Thanks to all of our parents, for without your continued support, we could never accomplish our goals as a district.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
My name is Heather Marquez, and I am with Action Coach MindLinks.
My name is Ann Berry, and my business is Berry Associates with Shackley. Heather is unique in the fact that when she coaches, she makes you feel like you can do anything. At the same time, she holds your feet to the fire. She's always willing to give me resources. She always has me test and measure. Just a really good, soft, edgy approach. She's both. I think for anyone that wants to become a better person, make more money, make the most of the next year, would be doing themselves a favor by saying, I want to work with Heather. She helps you work on yourself, helps you work on your business, and not just be busy working in your business.
Visit my website at heathermarquez.actioncoach.com. It's really about helping business owners become more educated, remind them of the things they already know, and then help them get clear so that they can take the actions that are going to help them get to the ultimate goals that they have.
Finding the best pre-owned vehicle can be downright frustrating. Bill Caldwell Ford believes in making it simpler. We analyze prices in a 100-mile radius to make sure you're getting the best deal. Plus, our quality pre-owned vehicles get a 100-point inspection. We call it the 200 test. Best price in 100 miles plus a 100-point inspection equals 200 reasons to trust us. Shop BillCaldwellFord.com now to see the difference. Bill Caldwell Ford, clearly a better place.
This is the home of Cole and Company. For the ride home, weekdays 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the Cedar Valley sports leader.
Welcome back. I am your host, Cole Bear. Just got done talking Iowa State hoops with the play-by-play voice, John Walters. If you missed it, you can listen back when the podcast becomes available, usually a little before 6 o'clock at the all-new 1650thefan.com. We're going to keep talking hoops as the UNI Panthers, Ben Jacobson's team, they also had a 2-0 week this past week. They went on the road and beat Evansville to complete a season sweep of the Purple Aces, 64-59. They get the W last Wednesday night. And then on Saturday afternoon at McLeod Center here in Cedar Falls, got a pretty convincing 79-64 win over Illinois State, which included a 15-0 second-half run where the Panthers really found their stride, particularly on offense, I thought anyways. And talked to UNI coach Ben Jacobson today at his press conference about that Illinois State win and what it's going to take moving forward for these Panthers that are right there in the thick of the Missouri Valley Conference race at 7-3 in conference play. Loyola, they suffered a second loss on, well, yesterday to the Drake Bulldogs. So this thing's wide open. Panthers this week, they are looking for retribution against Bradley on Wednesday night. They lost to them all the way back in December in their conference opener. And then they go right back up against the Drake Bulldogs, who were here in town the week before, this last one. They go to Des Moines this Saturday and take on the Bulldogs at 5 o'clock at Knapp Center. So big week coming up for the Panthers, and UNI coach Ben Jacobson started things off today asking him about the film review of that big win over the Illinois State Redbirds.
Start with the positives, I suppose, Cole. The defensively, we did a nice job in the second half. In the first half, we got out and showed on the ball screen and put 2-1 and and had some good possessions there. Illinois State had a good plan for it, and they were able to find some holes in it. Got lucky on a couple possessions, like I talked about after the game, where they had some openings, and they got the ball to where they wanted to get it and didn't get any points out of it. So we benefited a little bit from that. Second half, I thought, switching five ways worked well for us, kept the ball in front of us, didn't get stretched out. So I liked what we did in terms of guarding the ball and putting Illinois State in some spots where they were taking some longer or contested jump shots. I liked that part of it. Offensively, had a great, once we got maybe 7-8 minutes into that second half, really good pace. Guys moved well, cut well, passed well. I think maybe I talked about that after the game also. But going back and watching that, things were really moving. And that was a fun half of basketball on the offensive side. In the first half, we didn't have as good of possessions in the first half, but we had enough good possessions in the first half. Just missed some, had some pretty good looks at the basket and didn't make them. So we didn't have as many points as we could have had that first half, but some decent possessions.
You heard Coach Jake talk about a defensive switch to switch all the ball screen coverages in the second half, gave them a boost that they needed on that end of the floor that parlayed itself into some efficient offense. And I asked Coach Jake today, hey, how much further do you think your defense has come since the trip to Hawaii, where you guys really looked yourself in the mirror and, you told us, the media, that things did get better and that it did help. How much improvement has your team made since then?
Yeah, in some ways probably leveled off a little bit. So still similar in terms of the level we're playing at defensively after we increased it in the bump, if you will. Kind of there. We need to take one more jump. Right? We need to level up here one more time, right? And it's something we've been talking about a lot, watching film, talking about with the guys. Like, we've got to find a way to level up one more time. There's too many easy shots. Well, that's it. This morning at practice, I was talking to the guys. Like, there's too many easy shots. So the things I've talked about during the year, so much of it starts with guarding the basketball. And we're still getting hurt there a little bit. But we're making one or two mistakes in three or four different key areas during the course of the game. So now you're up to 8 to 10 mistakes that lead to easy shots, open shots. We've got to get rid of those.
So a lot of work left to do, as Coach Jacobson points out there, and I agree. You can tell it's been better, but it's leveled off. And I asked Coach Jacobson, okay, so what's it going to take to go from good to better than good defensively? Is it more mental? Is it more physical? Here's what Coach had to say.
It's going to be both, and I don't know. I know you asked for, is it going to be more of one or the other? It's going to take both. It's going to take a lot of both. There always comes a point, where you've got to decide you're going to do something. That point always arrives, right? And sometimes you've got a more experienced team. This year, as we've talked about a lot, like, we had a fairly experienced team, but we haven't had everybody from an injury, illness, on and on and on. We know the things that we've dealt with, right? So we haven't had everybody. So finding the consistency, that's been a struggle for us. But this is the healthiest we've been, and we've been pretty healthy with the exception of AJ having COVID the week of Elpo Drake. Other than that, since we got back from Hawaii, this is as healthy as we've been. We took good strides when we got back from Hawaii. And I talked with the guys, some last week about this. There's always a point where you have to decide. Right? It's not now about watching it again on film. It's not now about getting one more rep at practice. It's not now about, it's February. And you have to decide that you're going to do it different. You have to decide that you're going to do it right. That's the point we're at. And the guys are giving it a hell of an effort. When we're practicing, they're going at it. And they're doing the things that they feel like, or we feel like, as their coaches. They're working to get them corrected. Right? But it needs to get done. we got a really good team coming in here Wednesday. You know, they've won four in a row. They're playing great, and they're really good, right? Sometimes you win four or five in a row, and maybe your team is okay. Like, they're both. Like, they're rolling, and they're really good. And they're going to test you in a bunch of different ways. And so, yeah, we had a good workout this morning, pretty spirited workout this morning. But it is, like I told you, man, there's always a point where you got to decide you're going to do it different, you're going to do it better. And that's really the point we're at.
We're really pointed, really candid stuff from Ben Jacobson, right? Where you got to go do it. You know, it's been there in practice. He's seeing what he wants to see in practice. But I do think, you know, watching this team, covering it like I do, that there's just not quite that edge. And I don't know, this might sound cheesy to some, but you kind of got to get a little mean in you. You got to get a little stubbornness. That's what helps create an edge. Those are at least a couple components of creating an edge defensively. And I almost feel like, you know, getting a little more stubborn and mean is what this team needs to do on that end of the floor, where it's personal, where it really becomes more personal than it is. I mean, nobody is a competitor. I'm not questioning competitive spirit. Don't get it twisted, but you kind of got to almost get a little borderline irrational with how competitive. And from what I've seen with Ben Jacobson's best defensive teams, I mean, it was personal on that end of the floor, especially so. So I thought that was great stuff from Coach there. Also ask Coach Jake, because the Panthers, they were really able to stay in the game in that first half on Saturday against Illinois State. They couldn't shoot the ball. They couldn't throw the ball in the ocean in the first half of that game, but they got 12 offensive rebounds. And one thing I've always wondered, because Ben Jacobson, if you follow closely, he talks a lot about transition defense. He talks a lot about it. He talks a lot about defense, and more specifically, transition defense. And so you think about that. It's, hey, you know, you get back on defense after whomever shoots the ball, right? Well, they had all these offensive rebounds that helped keep them in that game and set them up for the big second half. And so I asked him, you know, what's that tug and pull like of having transition defense be such an important part of your philosophy, but at the same time, you want to go get those extra possessions with offensive rebounds?
Yeah, well, Saturdays, and that saved us because we didn't shoot it great, right? You know, we were 2 of 14 from 3, and we were up, you know, we were up 2 at halftime. The only reason we were up 2 is getting to the offensive glass, and not the only ones, but Trey and Titan were, you know, they got half of them, you know, between the two of them. So I think we can do a, I know we can. We can do a better job of getting there. You know, the times when we've got guys going, I don't think it impacts the transition defense that much. You know, where you really get hurt in your transition defense is the live ball turnovers. You know, there's times on a missed shot, right? A guy drives it in and he shoots it, and maybe he falls down, and now you're scrambling because that guy's, it's kind of 5-on-4 and it happens fast. Like, yeah, you'll get a couple of those. But when you're shooting, you know, if you're shooting a jump shot, man, when our guys have really gone, Titan does all the time. And we got a couple other guys that when they've gone, it's been a big deal for us. So I don't, you know, and we've done a good job of taking care of the ball. But it's live ball turnovers, and it's usually the ones, like I said, where somebody drives it, and they may have one roll off the rim, and they've gone either fallen down or gone past it. Usually a jump shot, you can go to the glass, and you can still get yourself back. And that's, you know, we got a team that can be a little better there, as you referenced. I mean, if we can get 12 and a half, we can certainly do a little more in some of the other, you know, some of the games coming up.
And also, real quick, asked Ben Jacobson about freshman forward Titan Anderson, who really impacted Saturday's game. 8 points, 5 rebounds, 3 of them on offense, a steal, a block. He brings instant energy a lot of times when he's in the game and seems to be forcing his hand to get some more playing time.
You know, the things we're talking about, leveling up defensively, getting to the offensive glass, you know, things are starting to take shape a little bit here in the league race, right? And so we're talking about leveling up defensively. We're talking about getting to the offensive glass. Talking about Bradley coming in here, like, Titan does it every day at practice. Like the things that got to get done, he's doing them. And I thought he was good at Evansville. Talked at practice about, you know, trying to find some ways to get him in there a little bit more. He went in and he played great. So, I mean, it's that time, man. And he's a tough kid, and he brings it. And so, yeah, he's going in early, and he's going, we'll see what he's got again. I'd imagine it's going to be pretty good knowing him.
We'll take this final timeout, come back, wrap up the show right after this.
I'm Chris Rose with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Cincinnati Bengals are heading to the Super Bowl after a thrilling 27-24 overtime victory in Kansas City. Joe Burrow rallied Cincinnati from an 18-point second-quarter deficit to take a late three-point lead. Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker nailed a 44-yard field goal as time expired to send the game to OT. Kansas City won the toss, but Patrick Mahomes was intercepted on the opening possession before Evan McPherson drilled a 31-yard field goal to send the Bengals to their first Super Bowl in 33 years. In the NFC Championship, the Rams knocked off the Niners for the first time in the last seven tries, winning 20-17. Matthew Stafford led a 10-point fourth-quarter comeback, and Matt Gay hit a 30-yard game-winning field goal with under 2 minutes to go as the Rams become the second straight team to host the Super Bowl after the Buccaneers won Super Bowl 55 in Tampa Bay. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Cyclone fans, Iowa State Wrestling concludes their regular season with their final two duels against West Virginia and Air Force. Be there as the Cyclones take on the Mountaineers in Hilton Coliseum on February 4th at 7 o'clock and the Airmen on February 5th at 1 o'clock. Tickets are available now for as low as $10 at Cyclones.com. Iowa State versus West Virginia, Friday, February 4th at 7 o'clock, followed by Iowa State versus Air Force, Saturday, February 5th at 1 o'clock. Tickets still available now for as low as $10 at Cyclones.com.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. 2 years ago, the Bengals had the number one overall pick, and they used it on LSU quarterback Joe Burrow. Last year, Burrow tore his ACL in Week 11. Cincinnati would go on to win just four games. Now the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl. This weekend's win over the Chiefs is one of the bigger upsets in AFC Championship history. The Chiefs started off the game with three straight touchdowns, and the hot start would have rattled most visiting quarterbacks. Not Joe Burrow. The signal caller stayed calm and made big play after big play. That lifted Cincinnati to its first Super Bowl since 1989. Having an elite quarterback is important. The Bengals' win does more than just confirm that, though. The win could provide hope for a lot of bottom feeders around the league. What the Bengals did is very difficult, but struggling teams across the league should be a little more optimistic. Because just a few years ago, the Bengals were in the same boat. Now, they're a win away from winning a Super Bowl. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Callaway's Chrome Soft isn't just better for the better players, it's better for everyone. Starting with our best-selling regular Chrome Soft, golfers get better feel, more distance, and incredible forgiveness. For better players looking for workability, Chrome Soft X gives you excellent spin consistency and tour-level greenside control. And finally, Chrome Soft XLS delivers lower spin on longer shots, firmer feel, yet high spin around the greens. Learn more, find your golf ball today at callawaygolf.com/ChromeSoft.
Psst, hey, it's me, your dream. What happened, man? We used to be tight. I say it's time we get back together. You and me, your dream, living the van life in a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could start a business or build a log cabin, whatever you want. It's a Mercedes-Benz van, so it's chock full of innovative safety features. All I'm saying is don't forget about me. I mean, I am your lifelong dream. So what do you say? Let's head to the Mercedes-Benz Vans dealership and get that Sprinter.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
A lot of ways to listen to the show, however you do it. Thank you so very much. I want to thank John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network for joining us today. And folks, it is the last day of January, so that means that it's time to give an assist to a local charity. Contribute to the 1650 campaign presented by Slumberland Furniture, the Waterloo Blackhawks, and us here at The Fan. Each month, we tell you a story of a different Cedar Valley organization doing good in the community and ask for donations of $16.50 at waterlooblackhawks.com. This month, January, last day, featured organization is the Cedar Bend Humane Society. Your donations help find loving homes for hundreds of dogs, cats, and other critters. Go to WaterlooBlackhawks.com to donate. All right, that's a wrap for a Monday. Cyclones Coaches Corner coming up at 6:30. It goes until 8, and then it's Iowa State, Kansas, the top 20 battle tomorrow night. No show tomorrow as a result. Pregame at 5, tip-off at 6 of that one.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.